Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was just a toddler, maybe about 2 years old, my parents and I, of course, were living in Maryland on the coast of the Chesapeake Bay. Well, that one year, Hurricane Gloria struck the East Coast. And thankfully, we had warning before the hurricane hit to prepare. Well, I say we. It was really my dad, of course, preparing. I doubt me or my older brother were much help. My dad had to board up windows, put cardboard and 2x4s over them and cover them with duct tape. And he had to prepare everything for high-force winds. All I can remember was running around under a blanket, probably during the hurricane, with my brother at night having a great time. But I'm sure my parents were worried about what kind of damage the storm might do and if our family was in danger. Well, thank the Lord, we made it through that all right. And although there was some damage, some pretty severe damage to a tree and some small problems, we didn't have near the amount of damage that many people had. Now, I'm pretty sure that my parents weren't exactly thrilled when they first heard that a hurricane was approaching our home. However, I'm just as sure that they vastly preferred to know ahead of time than to be surprised. And if they had ignored the warning to prepare for that hurricane's landfall, it probably would have resulted in much more serious damage and headaches. Our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives a warning, especially to the disciples of his day, to prepare them for a coming spiritual and physical storm that is approaching Jerusalem, one which would endanger and threaten the apostles and would cause devastating damage to the city of Jerusalem. However, this storm was not really a weather-related storm at all. It was a war with Rome. Well, Jesus starts with prophesying the end result of this war. The disciples, as they're in Jerusalem, are impressed and in awe of Herod's temple. Definitely was the most impressive feature of Jerusalem. However, Jesus quickly throws a bucket of cold water on their conversation, implying, "Take it in while it lasts, boys, because the time is soon approaching when all that's going to be left is a big pile of rubble. Not one stone will be lying on top of another." Jesus is speaking ahead of time about the destruction of the temple that will take place in 70 AD, some 40 years after he has ascended into heaven. And this would, just as Jesus says, truly be a terrible time. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famine. A bit later, he reiterates, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death." The great Jewish historian Josephus wrote about this time period, and the carnage and horror that he described are gut-wrenching. Now, Jesus seems to be primarily warning the disciples of a coming disaster that will happen within many of their lifetimes. However, we certainly, as we hear that descriptions, can't help but think of similar events that go on in our world around us today. The world has not changed all that dramatically in some ways. I'm sure many of you heard about the terroristic attacks on Paris this weekend, as just one example among far too many to choose from. Well, Jesus is giving his disciples a helpful heads up. This truly terrible thing that's about to happen, but he reminds them that God is still in control. Just as prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel and others warned the Jews that God would destroy Jerusalem and the temple, Jesus forewarns that the temple will once again be destroyed by warning his disciples. So why does Jesus provide a warning? Well, just like knowing a storm is approaching, Jesus wants the disciples, and us for that matter, to be prepared. He doesn't want us to think, "Oh no, look at all this stuff that's happening around us. We've lost. What's happening? God, has God abandoned us?" Jesus wants us to know that this is exactly the kind of thing that he expects to happen in this world. In fact, it's why he came to this world. Jesus goes on to warn the disciples that they personally will be brought before kings and put on trial for the sake of the gospel. We can see this, and if we read the book of Acts, there John and Peter are brought before the Sanhedrin and beaten for performing miracles. James is beheaded by Herod. Peter will be crucified upside down. Jesus warns them ahead of time so that they will be prepared. However, he also assures them and promises that God will take care of them, even and despite suffering and persecution. Now, typically, I feel like I have to try and convince you guys that spiritual warfare is a reality. Unfortunately, at least for me, today it seems far too real on account of, for instance, those terrorist attacks in Paris this weekend. And just goes to show, despite all our modern conveniences and even our fancy entertainment and distraction, it still doesn't take long for our fragile world to come tumbling down. Evil, violence, and death are far too real today, and none of our distractions will make them go away. We remain part of the spiritual battle that is going on in this world. And although our role is certainly different, and thank the Lord has not been nearly as painful as that of the apostles or those who are more actively persecuted, Satan still wages war against us, and we do need to be prepared for spiritual battle. Jesus' warning is very appropriate this morning. Do not be alarmed, Jesus said, and I might add, we don't be alarmists. However, what Jesus does tell us is, be on your guard. When I was a kid, watching movies and reading books about knights and castles, on your guard is what you say when you're about to duel somebody. I imagine the nation of France is on its guard. Jesus is telling us to be on our guard because the devil won't do us the service of warning us. He simply sneaks in and attacks without warning. He is, after all, the father of all terror and the father of all terrorists. This spiritual battle is a war with the evil forces that span centuries and continents, and today, although our battle is different than many, and I would not consider us to be necessarily persecuted, although we still are in a spiritual battle, and it is serious enough in its own right. Satan is hard at work in this world to undermine Christians. He battles for our minds and souls, as well as the minds and souls of those around us. It would sure be nice if he just quit, but he's not going to. He prowls around this world like a hungry lion looking to devour us. Our reminder of spiritual warfare today is to remind us that life is not limited to simply what we can see, what we can observe or measure. There is a hidden spiritual dimension to your life, to this world around us, and to this spiritual war that is going on. When that hurricane hit my parents' house, it was very helpful to have a heads up. That way we could prepare. Well, Jesus is giving us a helpful heads up, first and foremost to the apostles, but secondarily and importantly to us as well. How is it that we should prepare for spiritual battle? Well, please, please do not think that the proper Christian response is a military one. Governments can and do respond to such tragedies and threats, and we can certainly pray that God would grant them wisdom as well as success. However, the Apostle John tells us that the world will know that we are Christians by our love. Some people, when the going gets tough, want to give up on Christian principles and say, well, that's all well and good for, you know, so long as things don't get really serious, but once the rubber hits the road, we need to abandon those things and go on the offensive. Well, our Savior told Peter, in the face of violence and death, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Our Christian responsibility is not to fight back, but to love back. One of the things that makes Christianity so unique is how it first spread. It spread not by wars of conquest like nearly every other major religion in the history of the world, but rather it spread by the suffering and witness of the apostles and the martyrs who died to give testimony to the gospel of peace and reconciliation. And that is what this world lacks, what it truly needs, God's reconciling love in the cross of Christ. Our focus should not be on getting even or even simply getting the bad guys, but on sharing the love of Christ that doesn't kill but makes alive. Immediately before an army heads off to war, the general or leader of the armed forces often will encourage them with a speech. Now, in most cases, he's probably not really going to present much new information to them. What he will do is remind them to put into practice what they've learned, to apply their training. That way, they have the best chance both of winning the battle and surviving the war. Well, that's kind of the nature of the message today. Don't lose track of the things you've been taught. You won't be surprised, but hopefully you will, by anything I'm going to say from here on out, but you will be, I hope, spurred on to continue doing these things. Things like prayer, devotions, time devoted to God's word become even more important in times of crisis. And those are the ways we prepare ourselves for battle. And also looking for opportunities to love our families, our neighbors, and even our enemies, that is how we fight back. Now, if you think that you've done a sufficient job of those things, you can ignore me. Or perhaps I should say, if God thinks you've done a sufficient job of those things, then you can ignore this encouragement to continue doing those things. But the reality is, right, that we all need reminders. We all fall short. We all need to continually be asking for God's forgiveness and for his grace and his spirit to lead us to continue doing positive in this world. The good news is that although this battle still rages around us and will throughout our entire lives, this spiritual battle for souls, our victory is nonetheless assured. We have Christ who was victorious, and all we need to do really is to continue to hold on to him and to trust him in the midst of the strife around us. As Jesus tells us, don't forget that you are in a war. Be prepared to answer this world's violence with the compassion and testimony of Jesus Christ. Even more important, don't forget to hold on to your Redeemer, who has won the victory already through his own suffering, death, and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.